Good morning to each one. Thank you for that song. Comforted my heart. That's my desire. I'm sure that's all our desires, that the Lord would come and have His way in our hearts today. Appreciated all the young people for sharing what they shared, and was blessed, encouraged. You young men, keep exercising that gift. It's a blessing to hear and see young men preach or stand in front of a congregation and share. That's the Word of God. It's an encouragement. It's a blessing. And Joseph, I can identify with you a little bit. I think I have a little fear of man yet, too, so you ain't the only one. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. Seemed like the Lord planned this day somehow. Originally I was supposed to preach in the beginning of December, and well, here we are, the last day of the year, the last day we're here as in this way. A lot of emotions this last week, but I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. Thankful for being purchased by His own blood. Thankful, Father. Thankful to the Father in heaven that He redeemed me from a life of sin, from going my own way. And He's called me into Himself, and a life to live a life that brings glory and honor to our Father in heaven. That's all of us that are Christians here today. And it's through faith in that name of Jesus Christ, that we are healed, that we're forgiven of our transgressions and our iniquities. Also, I'm thankful this morning that God has not dealt with me after my sin. But by His mercy and by His grace, He has delivered me, He's delivered us, and given us an everlasting hope. This hope is an anchor of the soul, the Bible says, both sure and steadfast, and enters into His very presence. Yes, I'm thankful this morning, and I trust you are as well. Thankful to be here again with you all and worship God together and learn of Him. As I write the title on the board, erase Arlen's title here before we have a word of prayer. God's faithfulness. Let's rise and we'll have a word of prayer before I start. Yes, Heavenly Father, we come and stand before You this morning. And Lord, yes, we are thankful, Father, this morning for Your goodness and Your mercy upon us again, Lord. And Father, as Your word tells us that Your mercies are new every morning, and great is Your faithfulness, Father. And we thank You for that this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You have showed Yourself faithful to us in these past years, and even today, Lord, as we rise from our beds, and Lord, we have many blessings to be thankful for. And Father, as we stand and speak Your word today, pray that You would guide my tongue and guide my lips and guide my thoughts and my heart, and Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would come and minister to each heart here in this room today. And in my heart, Lord, and Lord, as we think of last times here, Father, as in this way, and as we think of the last day of the year, and as we look to a new year, and as we look to a new chapter in life, Father, for congregations here, Father, and we pray that You would just have Your way. Your name could be honored and glorified through all of our lives, Lord. And Lord, it's our desire to walk with You and to learn of You, and that we could indeed cry out for that wisdom, Lord, that wisdom that comes from above. We thank You, Father. We praise You in Jesus' name. You may be seated. As I thought about this week, I had a month to think about it, and as I thought about what to share with the body here and with us together, my mind went many different directions. But it seems I kept coming back to this God's faithfulness to us. in the past, his faithfulness to us as we found our way in life as Christians, and we charted a course as a group of people. He was faithful. He was faithful in directing our steps, and he's still faithful today. And we're, you know, as I said, we're thankful for that. So let's look at a few aspects of faithfulness as we go through here. Faithfulness, what is it? What is faithfulness? It's the quality of loyalty, of a steadfast, true to the facts. It's faithful. It's just a continuous. Looked up some synonyms of the word. Sometimes those words, those little word studies give you a broader picture. Loyalty, fidelity, devotion to, commitment, allegiance, dependability, truthfulness, a consistency. That's faithfulness. That's what faithfulness is. We think about God's faithfulness to us and apply those words. They should give us a rounded picture of what God is, what it means when God said he's faithful. I found this quote. It says, remembering God's faithfulness in the past gives courage for the present and hope and or expectation for the future. That's going to be kind of my theme quote as we go through the message here this morning. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past gives courage for the present and hope and expectation for the future. So the first thing we have is we remember. And to remember, as Arlen contemplated, sometimes you just got to think. You got to take time to think. The world around us don't want to give us time to think. To remember something from the past, you need to take time to think. And that's what I did this week. I thought back over the last 19 and 20 years of God's faithful leading and guiding his hand upon our lives. As me and my wife, and then as our children entered into our home, he was faithful in leading us each step of the way. And his faithful and guiding hand upon the church here also, as the church began here. It was very humbling to me this week to think about all the things that God was faithful to us in, but is also very encouraging, inspiring, to see God's guiding hand over all of it. Even his faithfulness when we were not faithful. Even his faithfulness when we were not faithful. In 2 Timothy, there's a verse that always has blessed me. When I came across it a few years ago, we read these verses sometimes and we miss them. Chapter 2 of Timothy, 11 through 13. Second Timothy, chapter 2, 11 through 13. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. The very character of God is faithfulness. He will not waver. He will not waver, even though men waver. Go back and read some of those words again and apply it to God. Loyalty, consistency, devotion to, commitment, allegiance, dependability, truthfulness. That's God. That's God and his faithfulness to us. And we can rejoice in that this morning. When God makes a promise in his word, whether it's a positive promise to his people or a promise to the unbeliever, and he says, this is the way it will be, we can rest that it will be that way according to the word of the Lord. Whether it's a blessing or a curse, he makes it come to pass. I thought of a bunch of examples in the Bible. Back, starting in Genesis chapter 3, right after the fall of man, God told the serpent, chapter 3, verse 15, we know these verses, but he told the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And we flip over to Hebrews chapter 2. I thought of this. We know that the scripture is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But chapter 2, I thought, let me find my marker here. Chapter 2, 14 and 15, he says these words, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he's talking about Jesus Christ, through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Satan thought he bruised his heel, but the Lord crushed his head by having power over death. Also in Genesis chapter 9, the promise to Abraham. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Chapter 9 is the promise to Noah. Verse 12, it's the promise of the God said, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. We still see that token of the covenant today. After a storm, we can see the rainbow in the cloud and the beautiful reminder of God's promise and His provision and His faithfulness. Through all these years, He yet sets that bow in the cloud, but He also has a promise to the earth that it's reserved for fire. That didn't come to pass yet, but in 2 Peter says that the same earth is reserved for fire in the day of judgment of ungodly men. So that we can rest assured that one day that will come to pass as well. Also thought of his promise to Abraham and Sarah. It was fulfilled in Isaac and all the children of Israel, leading the children of Israel to the promised land after many many challenges there and many failings. He led them to the promised land. And he rose up a king among them, David. God's promise to David in 2 Samuel 7:16 was that God told David, because David had a heart to build the Lord a house. The Lord didn't allow him to do that because he was a man of war, but he had a heart to build a house of worship for the Lord. And God told him, because you had a heart for this, there shall never be your people should never be without a king on the throne. That's in my own interpretation. Or through David's lineage, there was always going to be a king over the throne. And today we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that come through the lineage of David, and he stands forever as a king. He sits on the throne of God judging the world. So as we think about God's faithfulness to his people in the past, to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David, the list could go on. I'd like for us to think, what about his faithfulness to you today? What about his faithfulness to you in the past, since you've been a Christian, or even before you was a Christian? Was God faithful? As you take time to remember, to think on his faithfulness in your life, it causes thankfulness to well up in your heart, and that's what was going on with me this week. As I thought back over the last years, as we walked together here as a body, as a group of people, it stirred a lot of emotions in my heart. And they're still there. Sadness for all the lost opportunities I had through my Christian life. Sadness for all the lost opportunities, and I didn't take them. Gratitude for the faithful brothers and sisters through all the difficult times. Thankfulness for all the precious times of being together, of singing and worship and prayer. Was it always easy? No, but I didn't know if I wanted to do this, but I think I'm going to. If you're in here this morning, and you were here for the first service we ever had in this building in 2006, even if you was a toddler, I'd like for you to stand up. If you would do that. I kind of had in my mind who you all were, but I don't do this to exalt anyone else. But I want to personally say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being a part of our lives. All these years, may God bless you and grant you grace to continue to be faithful the rest of your days. And I believe He will. I believe with all my heart, God will be faithful to us. Because we need each other. More of these next 20 years than I think we did in the last 20. I truly don't know where I'd be without each one of you in my life. My wife, me and my wife's life, our family's lives. And I know I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for all of you. So thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your following the Lord. And may we praise God going forward. Thank you, each one. You may be seated. As I said, I didn't do that to exalt anyone. I appreciate each one of you in here. There's many of you that have walked many years here with the Lord as well. I was just thinking back to that little church that began in Steve Murray's basement with seven families, and it grew, and we bought the building here. We moved in December of 06. We had the first service here, and God has done a great work. May He continue to do that work. We had many, as I said earlier, many joyous times, difficult times, sad times. When I think of the graveyard back here, there were some sad times. But one thing that brought tears in my eyes a couple times this week is that through it all, God was faithful. And He's still there. He still stands. And I thought of this verse. I thought of the principle that we read in the Psalms, God is like a rock. God is like that rock we can build on and He won't move. He's something solid to build our lives on, to lean on. So you want to turn to Psalm 18. There's a few verses I want to read. There's a long psalm, but I just want to pick out some verses here as an encouragement to us that we can build our life on a rock. Psalm 18, starting in verse 1 through 6. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrow of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto Him, unto my God, and He heard my voice out of this temple, and my cry came before Him and even to His ears. There's a lot of hope in those six verses of the surety and the strength of the Lord. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my trust, my buckler, my salvation, my high tower. Also, if you go on down to verse 30 through 36. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me up on His high places. He teacheth my hands to make war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast given me the shield of Thy salvation, and Thy right hand holdeth me up, and Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. We can testify to that, looking back over our lives, how God is, just as we think back of all the opportunities we had to fall away, and God kept us safe. He kept us safe, and I trust He's doing that yet today. Also, 46 through 50, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdued the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, Thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. Great deliverance giveth He to His king, and showeth mercy to His anointed, to David and his seed forevermore. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, is the word the scripture says. So also that song we sang there, 165, I was thinking about that yesterday, and then Mervyn gave me an opportunity to sing it. I appreciated that this morning. As we think back over the years, and I thought of these words come to my mind for some reason. So in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads His children along. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, that's the joyous times of life. We rejoice, and God leads His children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God still leads His dear children along. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads His dear children along. Through grace, we can conquer and defeat all our foes. God leads His dear children along. And away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads His dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads His dear children along. And the chorus says, some through the waters, and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. We need to all come to Christ through His own blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. And in the night season, God still leads His children along. The second part of God's faithfulness is the present. We react. A lot of times we talk about being a reactionary people and we don't want to react. But God's faithfulness has we need to react. We need to react in the right way. That creates thankfulness. As we remember the past, and we think about the past, it creates a thankfulness in our heart for God's goodness toward us. So the word react has two definitions, or two different aspects to it. The one is the negative type. It's when we respond with hostility toward or in opposition against, or contrary to a course of action. So God lays out something for us, and we react, and we go from this ditch to the other ditch, as we like to say. We react to certain things in our life when God tries to bring us to an understanding of principles. I think we can all identify with that. We all reacted in certain ways to certain things. So that's one react. The other react is what happens when you put two chemicals together and they change by interacting with each other. It's called a chemical change or a chemical reaction. But it's also a react. They react one chemical coming in contact with another chemical or another substance causes a new identity or causes something to change. I thought of marriage. I thought of Lamar and Joanna, actually. And I thought of Joanna took on a new identity a few weeks ago. She's still Joanna, Daniel Graber's daughter, but she now is Lamar Shirk's wife. She is now Joanna Shirk. So she took on a new identity, and she did that willingly and joyfully. So as we become Christians, we take on a new identity. As we walk with God and we come in contact with God, His Word, through prayer, through believers, we are changed. We're changed day by day into the image of Jesus Christ. And we begin to exhibit His character in our lives. When we look at the faithfulness of God in our life in the past, and we draw near unto God. But resistance to change within ourselves hinders the work of God. As we resist God's leading, if we resist God's working in our life, and we try to brush it aside, or we push back against it, our spiritual growth, our Christian growth stalls, and the virtues of Christ stall in our life, and we actually go backwards. And I can testify to that in my life. There was a time in my life, a period of time in my life, where God was trying to teach me some things, and I resisted. I resisted God's leading. I resisted the truth of it, and it hindered my spiritual walk and my spiritual growth, and allowed things into my life that were very defiling and sinful, as I sat right here in this room. But God was faithful, kept pressing on me and pressing on me and bringing things into my life and pressing on me. I thought of these verses, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love where He had loved me, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the faithfulness of God. He does not allow His children to just go. If I could say this rightly, He fights for us. He fights for us in many ways, and He just doesn't let us go. He loves us too much, and He's sacrificed too much to just let us go. So as God works in our life on a daily basis, we have two choices. We can react or we can react. So often we react or respond in a negative sense. In a negative way, we push back by going in the opposite direction where God is trying to take us. Or in my experience, this is done through brotherhood, through church. As we interact with each other, as we rub shoulders together every week, and as we fellowship together, God uses men in our lives to change us, or to guide us, to instruct us, to correct us. That's just the way it works. We chafe at that sometimes. When there's a man can come to us and bring us correction, we chafe at that. But that's the way it works. That's the way the church works. That's the way God works. That's the way He's chosen to do it. And it'll be that way until He calls us home. We'll have people in our lives to bring correction to us. We have that... Dustin shared that on refusing correction. If we refuse correction, we're going to die spiritually. It's just the way. I mean, it's just the facts. It's God's word, and we can argue with it, but God said it, and it's just the way. It's the law of God. So in my experience, God was trying to work out of me, I feel, or I believe, spiritual pride. When I became a Christian, I thought I had all the answers and I knew it all. I thought myself more highly than I should have. And what really happened was I fell flat in my face. God said, all right, if that's how you think you can do it. And He left me fall flat in my face. But I soon realized that apart from Jesus Christ, apart from the Holy Spirit working in me, I'm nothing. We are nothing And nor can we do anything of eternal value for Christ, for God, without Him in us. The best we can be is a wretched sinner who cannot save himself or keep himself pure. That's the best we can be apart from Jesus Christ. But as we allow God to work in us, by that interaction, by that walking together with brothers, through His Spirit, and having an open heart to receive instruction and in righteousness, we undergo a change, just as in chemistry. When one chemical reacts with another, there's a change happens. I was thought of a few of these examples. So when we go eat lunch today, we're eating food. How does that food become nourishment for our bodies? It's broken down by acid and enzymes, and it breaks down the food that our bodies can extract from that food what it needs to sustain life. God made it that way. Another one is photosynthesis, if I can say that word, photosynthesis. It's where plants use sunlight and water and carbon dioxide, and they make oxygen and they produce sugars that they need to grow. It's a chemical reaction. What about salt? Salt is a combination of sodium and chlorine, and you bind them together, it produces sodium chloride, which we know as salt. But there's also bad reactions. When you put fire to gas, it can be an uncontrolled explosion. But in control, in the right environment, you put fire to gas, it can make an engine go, it can make an engine run, and it push your car down the road. What happens when you combine oxygen and water? Anyone know what that is? You get rust. When you combine oxygen and water, you get rust or iron oxide, and it breaks down things. So there's good chemistry and there's bad chemistry. So as if you want to apply it to the spiritual life, the good chemistry, as we interact with brothers and sisters, and as we are open to correction, as we pray, as we seek the Lord, we are changed. That influence changes us. But don't be deceived. Bad communication corrupts good manners, as the Scripture says. So there's also a bad interaction, and it's if we interact with the world and with the ungodly. And we are drawn that way, that'll cause an uncontrolled explosion as well. As we allow God to work in us, we are being recreated into a new creation, a new creatures. We are transformed from selfish, sinful creatures into a loving, giving, holy examples of the character of God. One aspect of God's faithfulness is His dependability. We know that God is dependable. And if we want to grow in faithfulness to God, we are called to be dependable as well. Jesus said, He that is faithful in least is faithful in much. Found this quote. It says, "Great occasions for serving God come seldom, but little ones surround us daily." So sometimes we get the mind, or we get caught in the trap of having this idea that I'm looking for big ways to serve God. And we miss those right at our feet. The little things, as we like to call them. But they're bigger than little. And we miss those at our feet, in our homes, in our families, in our with our wives, and in the church. We miss those opportunities. There are countless ways to be faithful day to day and show the testimony of Jesus Christ to those around us. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, it is required, it is received, that stewards be found faithful. So what's a steward? A steward is an overseer, a distributor, or a manager. We know what managers are. We know what overseers are. We know what distributors are. A distributor takes from here and goes to there. So I thought of a few points where we are called to be dependable or faithful. First one is faithful in maintaining godly relationships. Going the extra mile. Going the extra mile to have peace between each other, between brothers. Lay down self for the sake of the other. Forgiving. Communicating. Those are all part of maintaining a godly relationship. Another point is faithful to the Lord in our finances. The resources that God has entrusted to us in our spending habits, in the things we purchase, in our lifestyles. We can pride ourselves in looking separate from the world, very much so. That's good and right. We need to be different from the world. But then turn right around and live like the world. Spend like the world, buy like the world, act like the world. We can do that. And think that it's okay because we don't look like the world. To be faithful to the Lord covers the whole gamut of life. If we want to be faithful to the Lord, then we need to look inward and make changes as necessary and be able to be a pure and a right testimony to those around us in this area of life. Hebrews 13:5 says these words, "Let your conversation or your life be without covetousness." I didn't say that right. "And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God said, be content with your life. Be content where you're at. Be content. We know what the word content means. With such things as you have, he says, because his promise is, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I found some quotes on contentment that I was blessed with. As Juan says here, "Idolatry is trusting people or possessions to do for me what only God can do." Another one is, "The more I release earthly possessions, the more I grasp eternal treasures." And the last one here is, "Discontentment makes rich men poor, while contentment makes poor men rich." When we're thankful for what we have, and we're not always looking for the next new thing, we're just content. We realize how rich we really are. We're a blessed people. But discontentment will bring you low. And the third one here is the use of our time. To be faithful in the use of our time. Is it for God or for ourselves? Another one is to serve others, helping the needy or the poor. Another one I thought of is our health, our body. It's a temple of the Lord, and we're to take care of it. Another one is sharing the gospel, ministering to the lost and dying around us. And the last one I have is being a blessing to our brothers and sisters in the church. Here in the church, it's simple as you're walking down the aisle and you see a piece of trash laying on the floor and you pick it up. That's the little things that we can be faithful in. We can be faithful in those things instead of walking across it and going on. Faithful in the little things. The reason being, if you're faithful in the little things, God will call you for the bigger things, as we like to say, and you'll be prepared for service. I thought of the workforce, and it seems like as young people, as little boys coming up, they want to do the big things. They want to shoot the gun, and they want to be on the roof, and they want to do the big things on the job site. But the reality is, they need to start right down there picking up trash. That's their calling. And if they can be faithful in that, the boss will raise them up to the next thing, and to the next thing, and to the next thing. Works a little that way in the spiritual life. We can't faithfully serve God in these ways except by the power of God. We need to remember working in us, the power of God working in us and through us by His Holy Spirit. But we must be willing disciples. And I thought of as clay in the hand of the Master, He can form us as He desires. The last part here, as we look to the future, we have a resolve to trust the Lord. As we look back in the past, and as I read this quote, remembering God's faithfulness in the past gives us courage for the present and hope or expectation for the future. As we remember God's faithfulness and considered how we respond for today, we can take courage and hope, knowing that God will be faithful for the entirety of time on our earth, and also through eternity, He'll remain faithful. God will never become unfaithful. He'll never be unfaithful. But this is where we need to walk by faith and not by sight. I was blessed with that song that the youth sang up here. I don't know how I could get them to either sing it or quote it again. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us, but we know that God is in control. But this is where, we walk by faith and not by sight. And that can be the struggle. If you're like me, you want to have everything figured out, how this is going to be and how that's going to be. And then we just do it. But the fact is, we can't see into the future. We can't see 20 years from now. We can't see 20 seconds from now. But this is where we need to lean on that rock heavily. Heavily lean on that rock. But the reality is, if we're not faithful today, we're not going to be faithful tomorrow either. If we're not faithful today, we won't be faithful tomorrow. But God will always be faithful, as we read there in 2 Timothy. Even if we become unfaithful, He is yet faithful because He cannot deny Himself. He calls us to the same life and to the same faithfulness. For the future, we have to trust God with our lives. But He's sovereign and overall, and we depend and trust our soul and our salvation and our families to Him. But we have a tendency to worry about tomorrow instead of taking care of today or being active today. I won't read the verses here for sake of time, but we think of the verses in Matthew where He says, "Take no thought for tomorrow. Today has enough trouble. You'll be faithful today." And tomorrow, as we're faithful in the little things, God is able to help us to be faithful as we go forward. True faith rests upon the power and the character of God and asks no... This is a quote from A.W. Tozer. "True faith rests upon the character and the power of God and asks no further proof than the moral perfection of the one who cannot lie." And what he's saying is true faith rests upon the character and the power of God and doesn't question His ability to make it happen. That's true faith. True faith rests upon the character and the power of God and asks no further proof than the moral perfection of the one who cannot lie. Also, I got two quotes here from Corey Ten Boom that I found, as I was blessed with. "Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible." Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. As we think about the future, we think about the promises of God. I thought about the promises of God, and there's thousands of promises in the Word of God touching a whole broad spectrum of areas of life. 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God keeps His word, or His promises. As we think about the future, God is willing, He's able to do abundantly above what we ask or even think. And we can trust Him for that. We can trust Him with our life, and our children's lives, and the life and the health of the churches. I was going to read a number of these promises here in the Thompson Chain Reference Bible in the back, if you ever want to look this up. All the promises, there's hundreds and hundreds of promises. And I just went through here and I highlighted a number of them. And I thought, I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to read the reference. I'm just going to read the words. And let us take courage in these promises. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. When thou passest through the rivers, I will be with thee, and through the river. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I am come a light into the world. I have come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. That's the word of God that he gives to us, and that's just 16 verses that we have available to us, and that we're able to rest on. We're able to put our confidence on the word of, on God, that he's a rock and he's our fortress. So as we think about those words this morning, just take courage and let the word of God inspire us to think, as we think about the future. And as we think about going forward by faith, that we can walk closer to God in a deeper walk with God. For the reality is, we have God today, but we also have him tomorrow. And as we go into tomorrow, we have him for the next day and the next day. Next week, next month, next year, may we continue to allow God to be our refuge, our rock, our fortress, our high tower, our hope, our salvation. But also, we need to remember that we have an enemy that wars against the church. He wars against God's people. We know those verses. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the spiritual realm. But may we take courage that we have a God that fights for us, and he is more than able to keep us if we're willing. So in closing, I wasn't sure how to bring this message to a close today, but it seems like there could have been a lot more to say, a lot more to add, but I'll leave off there. May God richly bless each one of you as a congregation. Keep the faith of Jesus Christ in the forefront of your life. Keep pressing towards the goal of the upward call of Jesus Christ in your life. Pray for us as a body as we endeavor to do the same. May we be a blessing one to another in the future and help one another along the way. And we love and appreciate each one of you as a family here. And I speak for the body that's going. We love and appreciate each one of you. And as I close here with Jude, familiar verses, but I felt led to just close with these verses to you, to us. Twenty through 25. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some take compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We invite you to come visit us, pray for us as we endeavor to follow the Lord, and we'll endeavor to do the same here. God bless each one of you.